You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Aren't you glad to be in church? Give someone a high five. So I'm glad I'm sitting next to you tonight. And just great to be in Des Moines. I left, it was over 100 degrees in Brisbane yesterday, and I came to the beautiful Des Moines. It's true. Brisbane, Australia, and we give you greetings. It's so exciting to be here, and I just love what God's doing through Pastor Jesse and Lauren and in Eternity Church. I'm telling you, if I was in Des Moines, this is the church would be my home. And I just love it. I just love to see what God is doing. And the new facility you've got since I've last here is fantastic. I came in last and I was taking photos, sending them to my staff because we're about to build a new facility too. Look what they've done in Des Moines. Yeah. Setting the trend for the rest of the globe, amen? Yeah. And we're just so proud of what God's doing in this church and Pastor Jesse and Lauren. In fact, I just wanted to pray a word over your pastor's day. Is that all right? Could you stand, Pastor Jesse and Lauren, come and stand here. I want you to reach out your hands to this wonderful couple and just like, you know, because we're family, I'm so proud of what you're doing, but God says he's so proud of you because you've made decisions that other people weren't prepared to make. You paid a price that others weren't prepared to pay. And it wasn't a small price, it was a big price. But God says the favor is coming to you. And even you've been, in a sense, tempted with shortcuts to the next chapter of favor, but you've stayed faithful to what's in your heart. And, you know, I believe God's going to bless that. And what took a year is now going to take a month. And what took 5 years is going to take a year. And you're going to see the acceleration that's in your spirit and in your heart. And one of the things the Lord says will mark this church is just sons and daughters. You have a big family. Yourself and your own sons and daughters will be mighty men and women for the kingdom. But this house, the Lord says, this house is going to produce many mighty men, many mighty women that not only will do great things in this city, but to the four walls of this nation, to the east coast and the west coast and the south coast and on the northern border. God says it's going to spread. And this house will be known as a house of leadership, a house of maturity, a house of generosity. And many, many people in years to come will call this their spiritual base. This will be like the Antioch, the sending place where people were trained up but sent to the four corners of the globe. And so we thank you, Lord God. I sense it in my spirit, a spirit of acceleration, because the Bible says it's not by might or by power, but it's by my spirit. And as you put your sail up, God's going to take Eternity Church forward. It's going to be him bringing the momentum, not a momentum of man, but a momentum of God, and his favor will be stamped upon it. We speak health upon them. We speak health upon their children, favor upon the church in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 Come on, give your pastors a huge hand of praise. They are incredible. They are incredible. I saw Dr. Joe's over here. He's a good man. Dr. Joe, last time I was here, he took me to Kansas City, had the best barbecue I've ever had in my life. In fact, my 18-year-old son at the time, he still talks about it. And Pastor Joe, I just saw this picture of like an open door to a different country for you to do some medical practice. It's like a social justice thing or a mission thing. It opens up and you think, God, that may cost me something. But the Lord says, as you step out and do that, you'll know it when the opportunity comes, that God's actually going to bring favor to your medical practice and your business here because of what it's going to do on that. And I see it's going to give you, sometimes you've looked at your history in medicine, you thought there's so many good things, but there's this one thing in your heart where you thought, I wanted to touch nations. And I believe God's saying that the latter years are going to be the fruitfulness of not just being based here, but seeing the fruitfulness. Is this your wife here? I felt this word, children. Don't be afraid of children. You're at home with children. And I'm not sure whether that's in your family or whether it's even in the church, but I just see you, you're like a person that you mother everybody and connect with everybody. And there's lots of opportunity. And God says that's a gift to speak with love, but to speak to bring change in people's lives. So Lord, bless this couple, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Awesome, awesome. And so good to be here. And I'm going to get to my word in a moment, but who knows, God can do anything at any time. God can speak to you at church. God can speak to you when you're about to go to sleep at night. God can wake you up in the night and speak to you as well. But there's a couple here with a white top on. Would you just stand? Is that all right? What a handsome looking couple. And I just felt the Lord say that you're like pillars here to carry spiritual responsibility. And just the fact that you turn up brings a stability to this church, a maturity to this church. And I just feel that the best days are yet to come. It says that young men will, Joel 3 says, young men will have visions, but old men will dream dreams. I'm not saying you're old, I'm old, okay? But God's going to give you dreams for this house and to support the vision of the senior pastor. And I see that powerful. And I see amongst you both, I see there's you have a few kids. One of them is a prayer project, and you're praying a lot for. And the Lord says, you know how much you love that child? I love them even more. And my heart is for them even more. And you are going to see a turnaround. And it's going to be a supernatural testimony that you'll be able to encourage other parents about, saying, you know what, we didn't know what to do, but we just called out to God. We agreed together. We put our faith. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a testimony of the grace of God. So continue to seek in it. And I feel for you, sister, that you've got to speak out health over your life. And I know what sort of challenge you've got, but God says, I can bring a rectification. I can bring a health. I can bring strength. Would you just lift your hands towards the Lord? And I just want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for this sister. I pray healing in her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord, that she would see energy, strength, and health come to her body, I pray, in the name of Jesus. I speak over their children, that they would all serve in your house, oh God. That, Lord, they'd be like Joshua, for me in my house, we will serve the Lord God. And Lord, you love their children. Let the blessing of faith and favor be upon them, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand of praise. He's such a good God. Yeah, I'm just blessed to be here, and I just get excited. I can sense it when I come to this church. Every time I come here, there's been so much growth, so many exciting things happening for the future. I want to just talk to you a bit about tonight, about a subject that I think really worries Christians, and that is the timing of God. I'm going to talk to you about kingdom timing. Ever been in the right place at the right time with the right people and good things happen? Come on, give me a wave out there if you believe that. Ever been at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong crowd and bad things happen? Come on, be honest. Am I the only sinner here? Come on, be honest here, okay? Kingdom timing's amazing. And I find many times when I'm talking to Christians and I'm talking to leaders, I find that anxiety and the pressures of life, many, many times our frustration, even with God, can be because we don't understand His timing. We want God to align Himself with our life and our time frame, but sometimes we struggle to align ourselves with God's time frame. I've not met too many people that are really patient. That's a dangerous prayer. Lord, make me patient. That means your life's going to have trouble. And I want to encourage you today, God's timing is perfect. I remember I went to Bible college when I was 18. I moved to an interstate city, and I had lots of friends. I worked in a church of 4,000. I graduated from college. I was youth and young adults pastor. I had lots of friends. I'd walk down the shopping mall. Hey, Pastor Paul, how are you? I knew everybody, but because I wasn't married yet, I was still lonely. And I was like, you know, in the worship going, Lord, something beautiful, something good. Oh, this year's row 5. And all my confusion, Lord, you understood, you know. And I'd be praying. I was looking for my spouse for life. And I had lots of friends. I was in a great church, but I was lonely. And I remember praying. And I sometimes get impatient with God. I get angry with God, frustrated with God. So my best friends got married and I was still single. And then one day I was doing my job. I was following up a person, a new Christian. They'd been backslidden. They just got saved. And then he said, well, I'm going to get water baptized, Pastor Paul. Would you come to my house and have lunch after church when I get water baptized? I said, I'd love to, Mark. And so the day he got baptized, we went back to his house and it was awesome. At the lunch, there was his grandparents on both sides and his brothers and sisters. And it was loud and people yelling at each other. I thought, this is just like my home. I love this. I miss this kind of family. And we had a big meal together. And then on the way out, as I was walking out the door, Mark said, thank you, Pastor Paul, for coming. And I looked at a picture on the wall, said, who's that? He said, that's my sister. I said, man, she's all right. Now, I didn't realize, so where's your sister today? Oh, she's just graduated from Bible college and she's playing for a friend's church because they're short a keyboard player. And I said, okay. And so the next day at work, see, I didn't realize she'd come back from Bible college. She felt God say to her, go and volunteer for this church, which was my church. So she walks in the office the next day and says, and I said, how are you going, Joanne? And she thought I was some kind of stalker because she'd never met me before and I knew her name, but I'd seen her photo on the wall. And yet she was dating another guy at the time, but it doesn't matter when something of God's in your heart, you can overcome any obstacles. I was at the right place with the right time, with the right people, and the right things happen in our life. Kingdom timing is important. You know it. Timing in business is important. Timing on the stock market is important. Timing in sports is important. Timing in family is very, very important. We've all experienced perfect timing, but we've all experienced bad timing, frustrating seasons in our life. Many Christians are anxious about the future, about family, about study, about finance, about their employment status, about where they might go to college. Will they find a life partner? Will we ever have kids? Will we ever have grandkids? All these things can be a stress point in our life. Where are you, God, in these circumstances? But Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." You see, it's easy, God, to do a miracle. If God created the world, he can provide your college fees. If God spoke and there was man and woman and there was the animals, I think he can provide for your school fees. I think he can help you with a job. But that's easy for God to do a miracle. If God created the universe, he can answer your prayer. What's hard for God to find is a generation that will seek him first. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first God's priority for your life, and all these things will be added unto you. The more I put God first, the more he blesses and adds and shows favor to my life. God's timing is perfect. But many times as a Christian, I get impatient with God's timing. But I've got to remember he's God and I'm just man. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. You see, the Bible says in the book of Galatians that in the fullness of time, Jesus came. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." Jesus came not too early and not too late. Jesus was the son of God, became the son of man, walked in the flesh on the earth. He came in the fullness of God, the fullness of God's timing. You say, how do you know that, Paul? Well, you know what? History tells us that Jesus came in the fullness of time. There was two major empires before the birth of Jesus. First was the Greek Empire. And the Greek Empire, right around the Mediterranean Sea, brought a common language of trade and education. So if you traded, you might have been a Persian, you were trading with the Egyptians, you spoke your local language, but you traded in the language of Greek. Also, if you had educated, you learnt in the language of Greece because it was the common language for education. And after the Greek Empire came the Roman Empire. They were good Italians. They came, they saw, and they concreted. And they built roads all the way from Spain, all the way around the Mediterranean through North Africa. And they brought military order. So you could travel right safely through the Roman Empire, especially if you're a Roman citizen, with law and order and safety and incredible road system. So when Jesus comes, walks the earth, dies upon the cross, rises again, and then on the day of Pentecost, the church is born. The Apostle Paul gets saved, who's a Roman citizen. It is the perfect timing for the church to spread. Because the New Testament is written in Greek, which everybody could understand. And Paul the Apostle, who was a citizen of Rome, could travel right throughout safely the known world and preach the gospel. God's timing is always perfect. But we get frustrated with God. Can I hear an amen? It's okay. I find it very frustrating when new Christians seem to get their prayers answered straight away. We've got this guy, Muhammad, who got saved in our church. He's from Tehran in Iran. He's doing a PhD. One of the college students brought him to church and he got saved, born again, in love with Jesus. And every week, this was last year, he had a testimony. Pastor Paul, it's amazing. The government gave me citizenship. I'm going to stay permanent resident in Australia. He's celebrating. The next week, he's, Pastor Paul, God answered my prayer. I was looking for a job and God gave me a job. I'm like, that's awesome. Then the next week, Pastor Paul, I was praying for a vehicle and God gave me an automobile, a car. He answered my prayer. The next week, Pastor Paul, I prayed for a job. I got a job. That's awesome, Muhammad. The next week, Pastor Paul, I'm praying for a wife. Hang on. Just calm down a little bit there, Muhammad. And somehow, when we get more mature in our faith, God begins to be slow in answering our prayers. Maybe it's just because he's old and he's the Ancient of Days. But God's always on time. And the difference is, do we understand God's timing or we're so rushed on our own timing? Would you turn in your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes? Ecclesiastes 3 says this, "For everything there is a season. A time for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance.
a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do people really get for all their hard work? I've seen the burden God has placed on us all. Just stop there. Living in 21st century America or Australia is tough. It's hard work. It's a burden. The responsibilities we have to carry as leaders and family members and finances and health and kids' education. There's challenges on all sides. But listen to this. God knows the burden that you're carrying. Verse 11, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to the end. I love that. You see, you're just seeing your life from your perspective right here, right now. But God sees your life from the beginning to the end. That's why we've got to trust Him with the timing and the seasons of our life. You see, many times I minister in Hong Kong, and Hong Kong's 8 million people in a tightly dense, packed area, and there's an underground railway system, a metro, and quite often you come out, everything's in Chinese, so I don't know which exit I'm getting out, and there's 16 exits on this one station called Chim Sao Choi, and as I walk out of this, sometimes I get lost, and I'm walking down the street, but because all the buildings look the same, they're so high, and the crowd's so much, I start walking the wrong way that I want to go that way, but the crowd's pushing me along. I can't get perspective of where I am. I get lost very easily. But my friend has his church on the 77th floor of Central Plaza. It's a big pyramid on top of this building on Central Island. The owner of the building is the second richest man in Hong Kong. He got saved, and now every time he builds a building, he builds a church in it. But when you're in Hong Kong on the 77th floor, there's eagles flying past as you're preaching. It's amazing. But you've got a different perspective from the 77th floor than down on the street level. That's what God's saying. Sometimes you can just see your moment of your life right here, but God sees it from beginning to the end. So we got to trust Him with our lives. You see, kingdom timing is powerful. You think of the life of Joseph. Half of the book of Genesis is dedicated to one man's life story, a teenager that has a dream. He thought, I'm ready now as a teenager. All these family members are going to bow down to me. And he told all his brothers about it. They didn't get encouraged by it. They got bitter about it. His brothers betrayed him. They were going to kill him. Then they threw him into slavery. They sold him off as a slave. Then in Potiphar's house, he doesn't get a bad attitude. He's not a victim or a sense of entitlement. He just serves Potiphar as it was unto the Lord. And the favor of God comes upon Potiphar's house because of Joseph. You see, Joseph's gift was that of an administrator, a bureaucrat. If you're an administrator here today, it's a gift of God. And so here he was serving, and Potiphar's house was blessed. And the Bible says that everything he was allowed to touch but Potiphar's wife. But you know the story. Potiphar's wife had eyes longing for Joseph. And again, she tried to seduce him. But he said, how could I sin against God and do this? And he ran off, and he was falsely accused of rape and then gets thrown into prison. Now, if that was me, I'd be whinging and complaining. God, where are you? You gave me a dream. My brothers betrayed me. This lady falsely accused me. My life is going the opposite direction of my dream. I'm giving up on God. But not Joseph. He understood God's timing is perfect. And in the prison, he doesn't whinge and complain. He says, you prison guards, sit back and watch college football tonight. I'll run the prison for you and do a better job. It's amazing. And there the favor of God rested upon him in every season of his life until finally he interprets the dreams. And even then the cupbearer forgets about him for 3 more years. And finally he gets called to Pharaoh. He interprets Pharaoh's dream. And one day he goes from prisoner to prime minister of a nation, the second most powerful man in the world. And years later, the prophecy is fulfilled and his father and his brothers come and bow down. Historians say there's 45 years from the dream till the completion of that dream. As a teenager, Joseph couldn't have been prime minister of Egypt. He needed to have the character and the experiences of life, the wisdom of hard experiences and suffering in his life. I want to encourage you, you may feel a million miles away from the destiny that God has planted in your heart, but God's timing is perfect. You may be frustrated where you are right now in this season of life. Maybe you're a young family with little kids under 5. That's the time when kids are the most hard work. That's why God made babies cute, because there's so much hard work. But it's only a season. Come on.
Everything in life, the seasons, they come and go, but keep your heart like Joseph unto God. Or you think about David. He understood the kingdom timing of God. He killed the lion, he killed the bear, he was a shepherd of a small flock, but before he could be the shepherd of all Israel, he had to be faithful with something small. He was anointed as a young man to be king, but it took 28 years after he was anointed to begin to actually become king of all of Israel. Kingdom timing is powerful. You can think of Daniel or Esther or Peter or Paul. I want to encourage you today, kingdom timing is very, very important. But I find many Christians give up before they see the fulfillment of the dreams and promises God has given them. Because we get frustrated. We get discouraged. We get depressed about where our life and our relationship with God is. Galatians 6:9 says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. For in due season, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So today, I just felt that. I felt there's some people here. You feel like you're on a spiritual plateau, but God says you're in the right place at the right time with the right people in the right church. So stop looking behind and start looking forward to what God has for you. Just quickly, in the few minutes I've got, I want to give you a couple of keys that'll help you in kingdom timing. First one is this. Some people are so future-focused, they're paralyzed for today. Ever met a total dreamer lost in the future that they're no earthly good right now? I want to encourage you to. I got a guy in my church, he's been telling me for 14 years, he's called to the mission field. But can you serve on car park? No. Can you help in kids ministry? No. Can you do? No, he's still sitting there. I've sent four people to the nation since then because the book of Ecclesiastes says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. We can't just focus on the destination. You need to enjoy the journey. Now, I'm a goals kind of person. I like to, whether it's a road trip in the car or in my workplace, I like to have a goal. So when we do a big trip in the car, I work out where I'm going to stop for gas. I work out where we're going to stop for bathroom, we're going to stop for food, and I got a plan. So one time, a couple of years back, we decided to go to a conference. I worked out to be 11 and a half hour drive. I worked out every 400 kilometers, I'm going to stop for fuel and bathroom and meal. And then we started driving out of Brisbane, the city I live in. And what I didn't take into account was my wife was 7.5 months pregnant. So we're gonna go pretty much 400 kilometers for my first stop. And then 30 minutes into the trip, my wife says, I need to go to the bathroom. I'm like, no, you can't. I'm on a schedule. I'm going to make it to Sydney in 11 hours and 3/4. We're going to do it. And we're going to go. So we're doing 110 miles. We're flying down there. And she's no, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm like, so I stop and she goes to the bathroom, gets a drink. She takes it. I'm like, look at this. I'm smiling on the outside, but angry on the inside. We drive the next thing another half an hour, and then she goes, I've got to go again. I'm like, no, you can't go again. We got 2 more hours before we can stop. She goes, I've got to go to the bathroom. So we stop, and she goes to the bathroom, and then she comes back in, and I'm smiling on the outside, but I'm angry on the inside. And then we get about now 2 hours into the trip. She goes, I've got to go to the bathroom again. Now I am fuming because I'm thinking, we're so far behind. I'm going to have to speed up. I might even get a speeding fine. I'm going to have to speed up to get to that destination in time. And she comes back into the car, and the tension, you could cut it with a knife. And she turns to me and says, you've got to change your attitude. I'm like, oh. I said, you've got to change your attitude. She goes, you've got to change your attitude. She said, she looks at me and she says, you've got the privilege of sitting next to your incredible wife for maybe 12, 15, 17 hours if it takes that long. So change attitude. Enjoy the moment with me, your wife of 20 years. And I'm like, I hate it when she's right, you know. Because it's not just about the destination. God's interest in who we become on the journey, amen? So right now where you are may not be your ultimate destination of employment, of finance, of the house that you live in, of the kids that you got. It may not be the ultimate, but enjoy the moment where you are because God is not just concerned about the destination, but who you become as a Christian on the journey. Can I have an amen? You know what? Pastor Jesse will be on Sunday going, this church is not where I am. I've got a vision for a greater picture. The pastor always has a vision for the future. But we've got to enjoy every moment on the way and celebrate what God is doing in eternity church. Amen. Second thing is this. Some people are so now focused, they have no vision for the future. The book of Proverbs states that without a vision, people perish. Or without a vision, people cast off restraint. Or without a vision, people dwell carelessly. We're living in a generation plagued with this mentality. Well, let's party now because we don't know what will happen tomorrow. I want to encourage you, if you haven't got a vision for your future, seek God. Because the book of Joel says young men will have dreams, see visions, and old men will dream dreams. I find this too, maybe in your 50s here today. I find many people get a spiritual lull in their 50s because many of the prayers they prayed when they're young have been fulfilled. They got married, they bought a home, they had kids, they got a good job. And God's saying he's still in your life, but maybe you need to get some new dreams for a new season, some new vision for a new season in your life. God has a vision for your future. You know, when I was working in, as a youth pastor, we had this pastor on our team, and he was 83 years of age. It was Pastor Tommy, his name was. And Pastor Tommy would come to youth every Wednesday night. He was a bit deaf, so it didn't matter how loud it was. And Pastor Tommy would say, "Pastor Tommy, you should go to the seniors program." He'd go, "I'm not going there, there's old people there." He was 83, okay? Young in spirit. Because, you know, having a vision is not about age, it's spirit. And the doctor said to Pastor Tommy, he was always still preaching. He planted a church at 80 years of age with some Bible college students. He was an energy man. And the doctor said, "You're going to go blind within 12 months with cataracts, and we can't operate on these. And so you need to learn how to settle down a little bit and relax in your lifestyle." And you know what Pastor Tommy did? He enrolled himself in the Royal South Australian School of the Blind, learned to read Braille before he went blind so he could keep reading his Bible, keep on preaching. That's vision for your future, amen? One of my staff members was telling me the story of the day about his great-grandmother. His great-grandmother said, "Can you come and buy me?" She's turning 90 years of age. "Can you come and help me buy a new TV? I want a big widescreen TV." She loves watching sports. And so he takes his great-grandmother down to, you know, the Home Depot, and they're in there, and this young salesperson is trying to sell her the 5-year extended warranty. He's trying to be polite to his great-grandma. It comes with the automatic 12-month warranty. And then the boy's going, "Oh, but you can have for $250 extra, you can have a 5-year extended warranty." He starts having an argument with his great-grandma. "Do you really need the 5-year extended warranty? You're 90." He's trying to be polite. And she goes, "I want the 5-year extended warranty." Well, last Easter, she passed away at 98 years of age. She had vision for the next 6-7 years of her life. Sometimes we get so now focused, but God wants to lift your eyes for the future. Amen. Third thing is this. Some people are so focused on the past, they miss the now opportunity ahead of them. Some people miss God's kingdom timing because of hurt, unforgiveness, offense, failure, sin, brokenness of the past. They can't see what God wants to do now because they're always looking back to the past. I want to encourage you. The people of Israel are like this. They were looking for the Messiah for around 2,000 years, but they were so stuck in the past that when he appeared in the flesh before them, they didn't recognize that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. And I believe there's some people here today, you're stuck in 1996 when the divorce happened. God feels your pain, but he wants you to focus not on the past, but see the now opportunity. He wants you to enjoy the present. Or maybe that time that pastor offended you, or that tragedy happened in your life. Yes, the pain was real, but God by his spirit wants to heal your heart and your mind so that you can see the opportunity right here, right now. Philippians 3:12 says, "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things, or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly cause through Christ Jesus." See, sometimes we've got to shut a door so our hands are free to open a new door. Sometimes we've got to let things go of some things of the past so our hands are free to receive something new from God. There's somebody here today, and I'm telling you, your pain is real. But God's saying, "I can heal your heart. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to restore sight to the blind. I've come to give you freedom in the captivity of your heart. If you would just let go of the past and look at the love and opportunity that's all around you." The fourth thing about kingdom timing is this. Everything we do now is preparation for tomorrow's destiny. Everything we do now. I say this to my teenagers. I said, "Don't leave all your clothes on the floor." "But Dad, it's a horizontal wardrobe. It protects the carpet. Mum doesn't have to vacuum." No, you put them in the wardrobe. Everything you do now is preparation for your destiny tomorrow. You know, my dad's a school teacher, and when I was growing up, my dad would always ask me to be involved in all school activities, student council, brass band, sporting teams. And sometimes, my dad was a teacher. Everything was a teaching moment, okay? And so one time I got invited by my principal
to do a program. We were in a rural city of 3,000 people and 10,000 cows. And I put it in the round filing cabinet, the bin. My dad came out and said, look, Paul, look at this awesome opportunity. You've been invited by your principal to join kids from all over regional and rural Victoria to a special program, the Participation Equity Program, to speak about how the government can improve education for high school students in country areas. Dad, that sounds boring. He says, you get four free trips to the capital city, big city, Melbourne, 4 million people. I said, I'm in. I'll go now. So I was 14, and that year, four times, I got on the train, went to the city. There was all these country high school students from all over the state. And it was just a big talk fest. We talked about education. At the end of it, I got one of those green photocopied certificates. Paul Gilling has successfully completed the Participation Equity Program 1985. And it went in the filing cabinet. Years later, I'm graduating from Bible college. I'm 21 years of age. I'm trying to get a job. When you're 21, you haven't got much experience in life. You're trying to make that CV look really good. I was putting in first aid certificates, sporting things, trying to fill it out a little bit. And I found this participation equity program, so they put it in there. I went for a role at a college for a Christian chaplain. It was a part-time job while I was studying. And the school was a big school, 1,800 students. And there was a principal there who wasn't a Christian. She was a principal, a Catholic priest, a Baptist minister. And they were interviewing me. And I could tell straight away the interview was going bad because the Baptist minister said, oh, you haven't got much education. I said, well, I'm presently studying to do that. The Catholic guy said, oh, I don't know, you're very young, haven't got much life experience. And I'm thinking, why am I here? I'm never going to get this job. And then the principal is looking through my CV and she goes, wow, you did the Participation Equity Program? I said, oh, I love that program. It was amazing. Because I was in another state of Australia. And she goes, I coordinate that program for 5 years in the state of South Australia. I love that program. We brought kids from all the country towns to the city. It's amazing. And she turns to the Catholic priest and the Baptist minister. On this alone, we're employing Paul right here, right now. I've given him the contract, sign. Everything we do now is preparation for the future. So I want to encourage you. You know, sometimes they think, God, get me out of this season. Well, you know what? You'll just find the same season with different faces, different circumstances in 3 years' time. Because God wants to mature us through the seasons. People say to me, Pastor Paul, you're so good with people. I didn't learn that at seminary and Bible college. I learned it working in my dad's small business every weekend and every night after school, learning how to work with older people and younger people. Everything we do now is always preparation for the next season. Can I have an amen? Joseph didn't know he would be prime minister. But he realized God was preparing him for something big and something great. So he embraced every season of his life. The last thing is this. Kingdom timing is the right place, the right time, with the right people. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they were all in one accord, in the right place, with the right people at the right time. And the breath of God came, and the fire of God came, and the church was birthed. I would like to pray for you tonight. Because I sensed this as I was asking God today, what can I share with the wonderful people at Eternity Church Des Moines? I felt God say, there's some people here that need to understand that they are in the center of God's will. They are in the right church with the right people at the right time. And maybe frustration that's in your life is going to propel you to a new season and a new chapter of God. Maybe the disappointment that you've been through in certain circumstances. God says, you know what? It's going to give you greater empathy with others, but embrace it through the seasons of life. The Bible says the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. There's always two sides to the coin in the walk of God for your life. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads right now? I just felt this tonight. You say, Pastor Paul, if I would be honest with you tonight, I just feel very frustrated right now where I'm at in God and with my life. But you know what? It's okay to be frustrated. If you read these Bible characters, many of them were. But God knows. God knows. And I believe he wants to encourage you today. He wants you to realize that you're not forgotten. He knows where you're at. You say, Pastor, well, that's me. I just sense this frustration, this dissatisfaction in my life right now. It might be with your spiritual work. It might be with your employment or your career. I don't know. But it's been getting you so discouraged because of that frustration. If that's you, just quickly all over this place, lift your hand. We're going to pray. Many people, many people, many people, many people. You know, there's other people here. And God wants to take you into a new opportunity in the future, but you keep looking back to the past. There's some people here that, you know what, God's forgiven you of your sin. Maybe it's time for you to forgive yourself so you can move on as well. There's other people that are carrying grief and brokenness. And God says, I understand your pain. I carry it with me. But don't miss the opportunity that I have right now in front of you. There's people in this room, in this church that love you. There's people in this church that believe in you, that you've got a future. And you say, Pastor Paul, maybe disappointment, maybe discouragement, it may be challenges or offense, but you know what? You're stuck in the past. But God says, come on, I want to help you break free of that to embrace the opportunity of the present. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you say that's you? Would you just raise your hand, because I want to pray for you tonight, because I believe God's got something. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So many people here tonight. That's awesome. That's so awesome. And then I felt the last group I want to pray for is right now you're thinking, what has this season of my life got to do with anything in my future? I used to think that when I was doing physics and maths in my senior year of high school. What has this got to do with my future? But all these things are preparation for the debt. You don't know how big the destiny has God has for you in the future. So embrace the season right now. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you a joy right where you are right now, in the job that you've got, in the family, in the marriage you've got. God says, you know what? You don't know the potential of the future. And if that's you, say, Pastor Paul, I just need an encouragement. I just need some inspiration to embrace the season, because it's all preparation. I need to be reminded that my life is in God's hand. If that's you, just quickly lift your hands all over. So many people. Awesome. Awesome. Awesome in this place. Could we all stand to our feet right across this place? And if you raised your hand for any of those things, would you lift them up towards God? And we're going to pray right now before I hand back. All over this place. Lift your hands towards the Lord. You're not lifting it to me. You're not lifting it to a church. You're lifting it to surrender to God. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful group of people here today. There is destiny. There is purpose. There is favor in this room. But Lord, I pray today, Lord, that we would not rely on our own wisdom, but like Proverbs says, we will trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean on our own understanding. Acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will make our path straight. You will make our path favorable and prosperous and full of blessing. And so today, right now, Lord, I pray for those who are carrying burdens from the past. They try to run forward, but they feel like they're chained to events of the past. Lord, I pray, break those chains today, that they can embrace the future that you have right now. For those who are feeling discouraged or frustration in their spiritual work, let that frustration turn to hunger, that they would seek you like they've never sought you before, God. For Lord, those who may be feeling like, is this all there is to my life? Lord, that you would open up the eyes of their heart and to realize this is just a season of preparation for a greater destiny that there is ahead. Lord, bless your people today. Let them hunger and thirst. Let them knock and see the doors open, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Because what's the most important timing is people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you know what? Tonight, I flew 12,000 miles just to pray this prayer with you. That's how much God loves you. He sent a guy from Australia down under to come and say this to you today. You say, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I just know him as a religious figure. That's all right. But I'm telling you, he wants to have a personal relationship with you. You say, I'm not good enough to be a Christian. Everybody's made mistakes, my friend. Just come as you are. Open up your heart to him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart, you will be saved. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'd like to pray for people tonight and say, yeah, I'd like to give my life to Jesus. Or maybe you're a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. Well, tonight God wants to bring you back home as well into relationship with him. You say, Pastor Paul, would you pray with me tonight? I want to give my life to Jesus, start a relationship with God. Pastor Paul, I need to get my life right with God. I'm a million miles away from him. I'd love to pray for you. God sent me over the Pacific Ocean because he cares for you so much to pray this prayer. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Pastor Paul, will you include me in that prayer? Would you raise your hand wherever you are right now? And I'd love to pray for you tonight. You feel away from God, or you need to get connected with God, or maybe for the first time you're praying this prayer. Many people raise their hand. That's awesome. Church, can we pray this together? Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight and I ask you to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to be my friend. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Take away my shame. Give me a new heart and a new start. I want to discover the destiny and the purpose you have for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give those 6 or 7 people a hand tonight? Say, that's so awesome that you prayed that prayer. You prayed that prayer tonight. God bless you. God's timing is perfect.
you're in the palm of his hands. Come on, let's give God a hand of praise. Yeah.